Okay, we're up to Perek Tes, Pasik Tes. Okay, Re'ei Chayim im Isha Asher Hafta, see life with the Isha, the wife, Asher Hafta, who you love, Kol Yimei Chayei Hevlecha, all the days of your futile, of your empty life, Asher Nosan Lecha Tachas Hashemesh, Kol Yimei Hevlecha. The pasuk here repeats it twice. The same thing is repeated twice. Because this is all you have. Enjoy life with your wife who you love, because that's all you got. This is your portion in life and in your toil, which you struggle. Tachas Hashemesh. There appears to be a lot of repetition. Let's see the words of the Mitzudos.
Pasuk Tes. This is a positive or a negative
statement? It's a
mix. Rashi says it's positive.
It's a mix, it seems. Okay? It's pretty depressing. It's pretty depressing. Let's see what the Pasuk, according to the Parish of the Mitzudos, Rashi, Mitzudos, Rei Chayim, Pasuk Tes, Achshav Now. What is the purpose of this Pasuk? So he says, Achshav Now, Omar derech klal, he says a general rule. He says, make sure that your life is a true life. Make sure you enjoy life. After the previous pasuk, it says, let's see. Make sure that the life you enjoy, you make the most out of it. You enjoy it. A life of pain is not called life. If you truly want to live, you have to enjoy life. In Yisha, gam ata tis aneg. Now, what do you have in your text? I have the word gam. Do you have the word gam? Again, the deeper masculine is im Yisha. Gam ata, you should also tisaneg gam hoisha. What do you have? Or let me take out your addition one more.
Say it again.
The dibur hamaschil im isha. Read me your dibur maschil. What does it say?
Gam.
Yeah.
Gam ata tisaneg.
Oh, im. You have the word im ho'isha, right? Im? Yeah. I have in my edition gam ho'isha. Okay, so there's a mistake in my edition. Okay, im ho'isha. I knew this something didn't make sense. Im ho'isha, gam ato hestesadeg im ho'isha shohafto lekachas l'ho'isha. A person should enjoy to be with his wife. Lo tiye einecho tzara bekach. Make sure einecho tzara bekach. If a person is going to torture his wife, a person is going to be nasty to his wife, so she's going to reciprocate and be nasty to him. In order that there should be a good relationship, so a person should be, so that's seemingly what he's saying. One more time, those words.
It's anger, I think.
Alright, let me take a look at your text. There appears to be a mistake here.
I think what Rashi is saying.
No, not Rashi. I'm reading the Mitzudos.
Mitzudos. Right. Lamad lo tiyeh einoh sorah var. Like, sorah ayah.
You should not be stingy with her.
Or she should not be stingy with you.
Lamad tiyeh
einoh. Treat her right so that she should not be
I think what it means is a degree of reciprocation. If you're not going to be nice to her, she's not going to be nice to you. She's not going to have a pleasant outlook. Rapam, does everyone know this famous story where a person came to Rapam and he said that my wife is a witch. That's what he said. He complained. So Rapam said to him, if your wife is a witch, it's because you made her into a witch. If you treat your wife in a negative way, so that's what's going to become. So he's saying over, that's seemingly what he's saying over here. Rei Chayim, Ach Shodeh, Oma Derech Terech Klal, Oma Tamim Isha, Gam Ato Tisanegin Ho Isha Shor Hafta. Be good to her. Be pleasant to her. Lo Kachas Luchol Li Isha. This woman which you love, Lo Kachas Luchol Li Isha, Leman, so that, Lo Tiye Eino Tzoro Boch. That she should not be nasty to you. If you're not going to be nice to her, she's not going to be nice to you. It's a two-way street. L'chein therefore, imot tisana, kol yimei chayei hevel, asher kosav lo, which Hashem has kosav, Hashem, don't
know. What's your
Tez of shachs your tzait. I thought for sure you bought donuts for Rav Shach.
Yeah, I would have bought poison donuts.
Lachain ima tisana kol yimei. Who's yours? Rav Shlomo. Who? Rav Shlomo Kalbach. Ah. Okay. Lachain ima tisana kol yimei chayei hevel asher katsa v'nasa l'cho hamokam l'hach yosvel. All the days which you feel days which Hashem has designated and has given you to live in this world. Okay. Now the question over here, the mitzvah is asked in the parentheses, is why do we call a person's life hevel? Why is a person's life? A person's life is not hevel. So he here now gives us a new interpretation of the word hevel. Kori l'me chayi hodem mehevel chayi hevel l'fi she'enam nitzchiyim. A new word, a new insight into the translation of the word hevel. This is probably one of the very major themes in Sefer Koheles, is to find a good translation for the word hevel. Havel, havelim, amar koheles, havel, havelim, akol havel. So what is, so here he said, anything which is not forever, anything which is temporary is called hevel. In this context, since a person who is not going to live forever, so therefore we refer to the days of his life in this world as yimei hevel, period.
Hevel also means breath. So while you're living and breathing, you have
you're living and breathing, and there are many interpretations. That's how he translates over here. Ayrat Sulaiman Shav b'Shalom, Shav b'Shalom Mishdecha. Or the pasuk can also be interpreted to mean that you shall live in peace with your wife. Shetehei Chayecha Chayim. Make sure that you live in this animal. It seems to be the same idea as he said before. Should be in peace. A person should not quarrel with his wife. Ki Chayei Meriva Lo Yikru Chayim. A life of fighting is not called life. Kol Yimechav Lacha. All the days of your futile existence. That's all you got in this world. All you got in this world is your wife. All of the hard work you do in this world, the only thing you have is to come home to your wife. So you might as well have a good relationship with your wife in order to get through this world. I don't really get it. There's something obviously a lot more going on in this pasuk, but the Mitzvah series is telling us a very similar interpretation, and the basic idea is that he translates the word Isha as a real wife, a human being from the female species. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. It's a different Bria. That's what he translates the word Isha. And as we're going to see soon, that the Medrash interprets the word Isha as a reference to Torah. Isha is a marshal for the study of Torah. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasik Tes. Re'i Chayim and Isha Sherehavta. Re'i V'Havein. A person should see V'Havein. So he's telling us over the word Re'i. See does not mean to see physically, but it means to understand. It means to comprehend the following issue. What is it? Lilmoid Unis Lehisparnes Mimenu. Okay, so a third interpretation. I jumped the gun. I told you Isha refers to the study of Torah. It is your partner. Over here he says Isha means a parnasa. You shall seek a livelihood. It means to support yourself. Re'i V'Havein Lilmoid Unis Lehisparnes Mimenu. Gam Talmud Torah Asher Im, together with Talmud Torah Asher Biyodecha. So he translates here, Isha to me, Chayim, Re Chayim Im Isha Asher Ahavta. I'm sorry, I meant to say the Chayim is Parnassah. I'm sorry, the Isha is Torah. Rashi, there's only two translations. There is Isha Mamish, or Isha is Torah. So the question is, what is Chayim? So according to the Mitzvah of an Isha is a woman, Chayim means a good life. It means make sure that you have a good relationship with your wife. There is no disputes, there are no quarrels, there's no bickering, because that a life of quarreling is not called life. According to Rashi, Chayim means a parnasa, Isha is Torah. In Ein Kemach, Ein Torah. If you're not going to have a parnasa, then you're going to be reduced to a collector. And a collector.
Rashi is
censored
in a lot of literature.
I don't. Re'ei v'havein lilmoid umnis lehisparnes mimenu in Talmud Torah asher biyodecha. Ki hu chalkucha b'chayim im osisa kein. If a person will have a parnasa, he will succeed. Yeh chalkucha zeh chayim ba'olam hazeh lehisparnes minhu nois from your profession. Uva olam haba sheyogato sheyigia shnehem mishkach asavon. You will have in the next world olam haba because you will not sin. If a person does not have parnasa and his profession is to learn Torah, he will come to sin. He will come to steal, and then all of his learning goes out the window. He will not be able to take that into the next world. The chelkucha b'chayim. The combination is what will grant you a chelek of chayim, chayim here, chayim nitzchiyim in olam haba. Okay, so this is the interpretation. Let's see the targum. Targum pasuk tes says, chazi chayim tovin im itasa, see life, to get good life with the isha dir chayim tov, which you love, kol yoimei chayei havlusach. All the days of your futility, the Hav Hashem Lach that Hashem has given you, b'mazolah, through mazel. Every person comes into this world has a given mazel, how long he will live, what he will do. B'olmo hodein techoshim sha'arum, because ki hu chu lokoch, this is your portion, b'chayin, uvitar chusoch, the antarach, and it is the toil which you struggle. But Omer Hadain in this world to Choshimsha under the heaven. Okay, so the Targum is not really adding much elaboration on this Chazal. Okay, now let me just see over here some of the Midrashim that I marked off. Oh, no, I don't have any medrash. Okay, there is...
Here it seems to talk about Torah.
Yeah.
And dividing your day. Shlish la Torah, shlish la Tfilah, shlish la Melacha.
So that's what Rashi is drawing from. So the basic thing we take out of this pasuk, there are two interpretations. Either it means a person should have parnasa, chayim means an umnis, im isha then means Torah. Or chayim, according to the mitzvahs, means happiness. A person should be a happy person and should not fight im isha literally with his wife. And that will be his portion in the next world. Kihuch, yeah?
A wife.
Oh, right, a wife, literally.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the Mitsudos is drawing from those interpretations. It means literally a wife, and according to Rashi, it means a parnasa. And if
it, Ishlamo, which wife?
Yeah, which wife?
Which wife? He had 1,000 wives.
Yeah.
Right.
What's he saying?
Re'ei Chaim. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Kol asher timsa yodcha lasos b'chechacha aseh. Everything that you could accomplish in this world, do it. Whatever you can do, do it. Ki ein maaseh v'cheshbon v'das v'chachma b'shol asher ato ho'lech shama. Because in the grave, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. There's no calculation to make. There's no knowledge. There's no wisdom. In the grave where you go, you don't have the opportunity to take it to use your talents and your koychas and nefesh to accomplish anything. Let's see the mitzvahs pasuk yud kol asher oid chochai. While you are alive, while a person is alive, asay kol asher tasig yad kol asayis bechaychacha. Hey maase hamitzvos, hey maase hatanugim. Here the mitzvah says, do whatever you can do to do mitzvahs, and also to enjoy this world. A person, we have mentioned many times, a person will have to give din v'cheshvan for every hana, every pleasure that he had chance to enjoy, and he failed to derive benefit. Ki ein maase b'shol, ki kishetia b'kever, ein sham maase hatanug. There's nothing to enjoy. Umachsheves bina, and there's no knowledge. V'das v'chochma. Asher ato cholech sham. Now, here's a very disturbing pasuk. Why does the pasuk say in the present tense that you're going to the grave? Who's going to the grave? The grave is not a place that you go to the grave. You're taken to the grave. What do you mean you're going to the grave? Slifi. So here he says something very depressing. Slifi. Shebuchol eis. Time. Every moment is one moment closer to the grave. It's, this world is just like one big waiting room. When you're in the waiting room, you're just waiting to go into the doctor. So this whole world is just one big waiting room, waiting for the end. Lefisha b'chol eis. Isn't that very encouraging? Isn't that a very pleasant thought? Lefisha b'chol eis. Every single moment, miskadei v'yom hamisa. every moment the day of death comes near. Lavoi elakever lifze amar. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Amasher atoholech shama." It's a very powerful expression. To the grave which you are going. Every single day, a person wakes up in the morning. He has to view himself. Where am I going today? I'm going closer to my grave. I'm walking. I'm traveling. I'm traveling closer to death. Ki ilu choylech lehiskadev elakever. I didn't say this. Shlomo said this. Yeah. To tshuva l'yoyim echa lefnem.
Also, know where you're going.
La'ona toholech. Know where you've come from. La'ona toholech l'miyata noisin din v'cheshbon. So in Echrami, la'ona toholech. You're right. You're saying very good that maybe the Mishnah is taking its source from this pasuk, because here it says the person is always getting close to the grave. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud. Kol asher timso yotchol asayt sratza ritzayin kainch. Anything which you can do, do. So Rashi says not like the mitzudos. It means enjoy yourself, have pleasure. It means ritzayin kainch. Do the will of your Creator. Ba'od sha'ato b'chaychacho aseh, while you still can. While a person has the ability, he should do Hashem's mitzvah. So again, notice that the Tari, the Rashi, is not like the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos said two things, doing mitzvahs and enjoying this world. The Rashi clearly only spoke about one, a person should only do mitzvahs. Ki ein maseh v'cheshbon b'sha'ol, liza choyscha, mishetamus. A person does not have the ability to have to earn merit after he dies. And if you do so, now here he's adding and something into the pasuk. And if you do so, he adds something that's not obvious into the pasuk. If a person is good and he does, he fulfills this dictum, he fulfills what it says in the pasuk, that he did everything he can possibly do with his full koyach, then you don't have to worry. Then they will not. You will be free. You will be released from din the cheshbon. This is completely different than what the Mitzudos says. The im asisakin. You have to underline those words. The im asisakin. If you have done so, you have done everything that you can possibly do in this world. You will not held accountable for the things that you did not do. Ein l'cha shum cheshbon b'shaol shetidag mimenu. V'chein hamikra mesuris. We have to read the pasuk backwards, out of order. Ki ein maaseh v'das v'chachma b'shol l'rishoyim. There is no maaseh v'das v'chachma. Now he's saying a different interpretation. Let's read the words. There is no maaseh v'das v'chachma b'shol l'rishoyim v'loy cheshboin latzadikim. So this is what he does. It's very fascinating. He takes the word cheshboin, and the cheshbon he applies to tzaddikim, but he applies the word, but the other words of the pasuk of maaseh das v'chachma, that is for the rishoyim. Kishayidnu hachaitim din v'cheshbon, when the sinners, good morning, when the sinners will give din v'cheshbon, when they will, sorry, ein maaseh das v'chachma v'shol l'sham, v'loy cheshbon l'tzaddikim, kishayidnu hachaitim din v'cheshbon, when they give din v'cheshbon, they will be free from the din v'cheshbon because they did everything they can possibly do. V'chein nidrash b'medrash v'huva v'habo l'pas shay b'loy sirus. A person wants to read this pasuk literally without breaking up the pasuk into different parts. Kimashmoy poiser cheshbon. Then you have to interpret cheshbon l'shan mach. Shava, calculation, thought. Ma yuchal olasos lipata min adin. You have to translate, interpret it to mean cheshbon, to mean a thought. What you can possibly do. Yuchal olasos. What could you possibly do? Lipata min adin. You're not going to be able. There's nothing you can possibly do to avoid punishment. So it appears that Rashi is telling us there are two ways to interpret the pasuk. You can interpret the pasuk the simple way or the more complex way. Let's do it backwards. Mm-hmm. If we interpret the pasuk the simple way, what it means is we read it literally. Kol asher timso yotchol lasos b'chachma aseh. Whatever you can do in this world, do. Because when you come into the grave, if you don't do Hashem's mitzvahs and you do averos, there's nothing you can possibly do in the next world to avoid to earn merit. Ki ein, there is nothing you can do in the next world. There's no masa. There's no cheshbon. According to the Sakh Rashi's second interpretation, the word cheshbon means thought. There are no plans that you can bring to fruition that will take you out of Gehenim. Vidas, there's no knowledge that you can acquire the Chochma B'Sheol in the grave in Gehenim. He's translating here the word B'Sheol to refer to Gehenim, Asher Ato Holech Shema, where the Rasha is going. So that's Rashi's second interpretation. According to Rashi's second interpretation, we should keep in mind the word Sheol is a code for Gehenim. Not like the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says Sheol just is the Olam HaEmes. It's the place of death. A place of death for Tzadik and for Rishon. It just means in the next world, the person cannot earn more merit and cannot earn more mitzvos, and a person is not going to be able to enjoy the world that Hashem has given him in this here at this moment in time. So Sheol is not a negative term according to the parish of the Mitzvot, but according to Rashi, Rashi learns that the Sheol is the place of Gehenim, and once a Rasha goes to Gehenim and he fails to fulfill what it says, there's nothing he can possibly do. Now, according to the Rashi's first interpretation, it's much, much more complex. The pasuk over here is to be interpreted two ways. Kol asher timso yotchol asos, whatever you can do in this world, b'chaychacha asay, period. Then the pasuk has to break off into two branches. One branch of the pasuk is going to be interpreted in reference to the wicked who have failed to take advantage, and one branch of the pasuk will be interpreted in reference to tzaddikim who did b'chaychacha asay. So let's first read the branch of the tzaddikim. If the tzaddikim do take advantage and they do everything that is b'chaychacha in their power, then ki ein cheshbain. The only word we read here is we skip the word masa. The only word we read is the word cheshbon. There is no cheshbon. And we read b'sheol asha ta'ato ha'lech shama. And sheol then will not be a negative term. It will be a positive term. There will not be for the tzaddik a din de cheshbon. Now here in the commentators, they elaborate a lot more, and it means is that it means there is the person will not be held accountable in the next world. Why didn't you accomplish more? Why didn't you know the entire Torah? Why didn't you learn Shas? Why didn't you do more mitzvahs? The person will say, I did everything that I could. I tried my hardest. Once it is recognized in the Ilam HaEmes that you have tried your hardest, there is no cheshbon. A person is not held accountable for what is missing. That is completely ignored and he's finished. That is the interpretation of Rashi. But Rashi also says we also take the words ki ein maaseh and we interpret it in another approach referring to the wicked people. And this really fits in line with what the Mitzvah said, with the second interpretation of Rashi. But the only difference is now we're going to ignore the word cheshbon, and we're going to say that for the rishayim who have failed to fulfill the rule of b'chaychacha asay, for the wicked in Gehenim, there's nothing more he can do. He's stuck. There's no masa, there's no das, there's no chachma. For him, he's stuck. He's a dead end. B'shol which at asher ato holech sham. So Rashi again breaks up the pasuk into two different approaches, all depending on how we translate the word cheshbon.
Do you judge for effort and not for results?
Yeah, that's exactly what Rashi says. You judge for effort, not results. B'choychacho, your koyach asay. And that's what you judge for, nothing more than that. Yeah, Mayor?
Nothing more than that. I mean, that's certainly a factor, but results aren't judged.
Results are judged relative to effort. According to Rashi, Rashi is clear there is no cheshbon. B'choychacho, every person is limited to his koyach, to his power, effort. That's it. Of course, Zvarm Shutim. No one is held accountable. Rab Zusha, they're not going to ask Rab Zusha. Everyone knows this Chassidus of art. Rab Zusha, why weren't you Moshe Rabbeinu? They can ask Rab Zusha, why weren't you Rab Zusha? Everyone is only held accountable b'choychacha asay. Once a person fulfills b'choychacha asay, then there is no cheshbon. There's no din, finish. But for the wicked people who do not take advantage of b'choychacha asay, for them, they're locked into Gehenim, and there's no maisa, there's no das, there's no chochma that they can do to get out of the Gehenim that they are locked into.
Pirish Meir,
yes.
The first person before us talking finds
a good wife.
Fine. Then we have the matzah to negda.
Yeah.
Kalash atim soyot halasa. Any woman that you will try to find that you will create with your hands the koich achor aseh. You will do what she wants you to, with her power. There is no brain, no logic, no nothing. If a shot, you're walking in hell.
Okay, this is a very wild interpretation. All right, let's see the Targum. Let's see what it's. Let's see Pasuk Yud in the Targum. Pasuk Yud. Kol dim sapko yedoch lemevad tevu utzedakta. Anything which your hands are make available to you to do good and tzedakah with who? Im miskeina. Case b'chol chelach with all of your wealth. So here he says tzedakah. We're continuing the theme that the Targum said two psukim ago that we're dealing here. We're doing the mitzvahs of chesed and tzedakah. Anything that you can do in this world. Any fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzedakah, all the time, kol dim sapka, anything that you can provide, your hands can provide, l'neva tavu to do, utzdakta, to provide tzedakah im miskena, with the poor man. Do it. B'chol cheiloch aved, do it with all of your power. Run after the mitzvah of tzedakah. Why? Arum, because, basar mosa, after death, less kivurta. After death, there is no kiv. There is in the base. I'm sorry. Achar. You have beveis kivurta. Oh, I have different words here. There's something missing. I have less. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Less legavar uvada. You're right. There is no less legavar uvada v'chushbana. The person does not have the ability to do and to make calculations. Uman de'or knowledge v'chachma saw two different words for das v'chachma. Beveis kivurta in the cemetery. He translates the word sheol, not gehenim. He says simply the cemetery. The ata zel taman where a person is going. V'lo yisaun loch elohein uvadin tovin. And it's not going to help you these deeds alone, and it's not going to help you, but the only thing that's going to help you in the next world are the good deeds that you've done in your lifetime. Uvodin tovin, the good deeds, utztakta bilchodehon, only the good deeds and the tztakah that you've done in your lifetime, that's the only thing that's going to help you in the next world. Alright, so he's not really eating that much. But we have here the two interpretations of at least of the Mitzvahs in Rashi. And the Mitzvah says that a person should do mitzvos and should enjoy this world. Because once a person dies, it is impossible to enjoy the world that Hashem has created, and it's impossible to earn merit. Rashi learns that we're dealing with doing only mitzvos. And he's comparing the tzaddik versus the rasha. The tzaddik that does mitzvos will not be subject to din v'cheshbon. He did everything that he can possibly do. The Rasha, he that did not do b'choychacha, say he is going to be locked into Gehenna, and there's nothing, there is no Maisa, there is no plan, there is no Chochma, there is no Das, that can get him out of the Sheol where he finds himself in the next world. Okay,
in the Chumash, the word Sheol is used four times, by Yosef and by Korach. And it never means the Kever, it means some place that's in between, like what we would call a frame of reference, the Phantom Zone. It's not here, and it's not there. It's not up there.
That's how the Sheol is.
So that there's no possible communication from anybody in this world. We pray to the dead people so that they want to, like Korach, the Mefarshim say, that they shouldn't have any communication between the living and the dead. So Korach was in a state of limbo.
Okay.
And that's why they come with Yaakov, the same thing. He didn't see Yosef alive, and he didn't see him dead, and he didn't know what it was. So he was scared that this is something that he did so terribly.
So
I was wondering, of course, the Metzudot Zion says, we care there, But the Chumash never means.
It means somewhere in the middle. The Sifrei Kabbalah, they talk about this idea that to go to the Gehenim, it's a very bizarre thing to say, is a zechus. It's a merit. Because Gehenim is a correction facility.
Right.
For real.
It's rehab.
So to go to rehab, you have to earn the right. It's a merit to be zoiche to go. So the Mikubal may talk about that if there are people, a person can do averos that are so severe, they're not granted the merit to enter Gehenim. Gan Eden for sure not going. So where do they hang out? Nowhere. They just hang out in no man's land. So it's a zechus. A person should have the merit to go to Gehenim, and in Gehenim he'll be cleansed. And Gehenim is only for 12 months, whatever that means. We don't in the Olam HaEmes there's no such thing as time, but it's for a period of a period. It's a tkufa which cleanses the neshama, and from there he's able to go on to a place of tainuk. So you say, Rabbi Mayevsky, really it fits very well. You're in a state of limbo, the no phantom zone, you're not here and you're not there. Okay, now there's a very important Chazal Gemara Masechta Shabbos Adaf Kuf Yutes Kol Ha'oine Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbe Kol Koichoi. They rip up a person's Gzar Din, and the Makar from that comes from this pasuk Kol Asher Timsa La'asoyz Bechoichacho Asei. Why did Tosfos, why did Chazal focus, they pick this pasuk as a source that you should say Yehei Shmei Rabbe Bechol Koichacho. Why? Because how many words are there in Kaddish? In Yehei Shmei Rabbah, how many letters are there in Yehei Shmei Rabbah? 28. Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach Le'olam Le'olmeil Maya. Have Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach Le'olam. There are 20, there are 7 words. But there are 28 letters. Count the letters in Yehei Shmei Rabbah. How many words are there in the Kaddish in total? From Yiskadal, the Chatzi Kaddish, how many words are there? There are 28 words. The Ato Yigdal no Koyach Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may your Koyach be Yigdal no, may it be exalted, may it be expanded, the Koyach Hashem. What is Hashem's Koyach? The way we perceive Him in this world. Yehei Shmei, may His Shmei, Yehei Shmei, may His name mean Rabbah. There are two different translations. Either it means Yehei Shmei Rabbah, may His great name be blessed, or it means Yehei Shmei, may His name be Rabbah, may His name be increased through blessing. Yehei Shmei Rabbah, how's it fit? May His name be Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabbah. May His name be expanded. His name be exalted. So the number 28, which represents Koyach. Koyach Masav Higili Amo goes back also to the beginning of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Bereishis, why did the Torah begin with Bereishis? Why didn't the Torah begin with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? Koyach Masav Higid Le'amo. Hashem showed the world His Koyach. Hashem is the Creator. He created this world. It is our duty to discover, to explore, and to uncover the fact that Hashem is the Borei Olam. This was the Avodah of Avraham Avinu. He was the first one to recognize that Hashem is the Creator. Avram was the first one to recognize the Koyach Masav Higid Li'amo. Every day when we say Yehei Shmei Rabbah, that is what we're coming to acknowledge. We're coming to acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Creator. Everything in this world is an expression of Hashem's Koyach. And that is why the Kaddish is broken down into different forms of 28. 28 letters in the most insignificant part of the Kaddish, Yehei Shmei Rabbah, and 28 words in the entire Kaddish from beginning to end. And that's why Moshe also said, V'atah Yigdal no Koyach Hashem. First Rashi, Koyach Masav Higid Li'amo. All revolves around this idea of Koyach. And that's why in this Pasuk where it says, in Pasuk Yud, Kol Asher Timso Yodcha La'asos, anything that is in your power to do, Bechoychacho Asei. What is the deeper meaning? Channel all of your resources. talents, abilities, all for the purpose of b'choychacha, of expressing Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Don't take all of your resources and abilities and talents and keep it for yourself. Use it as a tool to make Hashem's name great. Okay, that's the deeper meaning of this pasuk. Again, kol asher timtzu yad chalasos, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted you and has given you the power to do, don't just keep it for yourself in a safety deposit box. Rather, b'choychacha, use it, take it, and use it. And use it with the for koyach, with your koyach. It's a play on the word asay. Take it, take these resources, and use it to express HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach. Use your koyach to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach. That's why we chose this word. And being that we chose this word is also a principle that a person should use to this utmost concentration, should intensify his concentration when he says, Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mivarach Li'olam U'yom El Maya. And if a person does concentrate to the most that he possibly can when he says this expression, he's guaranteed that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will rip up and destroy any gzeira that is written up against him in the Pamalia Shel Maila. Okay, now there's also a little bit of a little drush I came across, just a simple idea, and it says that whenever a person has the ability to do something, don't just do it. Do it with a half a heart. Anything that you do in life, whatever you do in life, the pasuk is reminding you, do with your full koyach. Kol asher timtzu yad chalasos. You do what you can do. That's not life. If you want to live a full life, whatever you do, you might as well do b'choychacha. Do it 100%. Give it your best. Don't do anything in life 90%. It shows. It shows. People take note, and it's not good.
The popular expression, anything worth doing is worth doing well.
Ah, exactly. So where does that come from? This pasuk. This pasuk. Kol asher timtzu b'yad yadcha la'asos, b'choychacha aseh. Don't just do it in an ordinary way. Do it the best that you possibly can. Okay. Okay, now there's this spooky Kabbalistic vart from the Alshech. The Alshech, this idea you come across every so often in various svarim, but here the Alshech, he reads this spooky idea into the pasuk itself. Okay, then this is pure Kabbalah. So I don't know what I'm talking about, and this is just for the purpose of entertainment. There's a Kabbalistic concept that when a tzaddik leaves this world and he goes to Olam HaEmes, they tell him, if you want, you have one chance, you have one shot deal. On the way to Olam HaEmes, there are two doors. You can walk right into the Olam HaEmes, into Gan Eden, but if you want, there's a door in Gehenim. You can go to Gehenim, and in Gehenim there's a back door, and the back door opens up to Gan Eden. Okay, that back door, you know, that there's a wall. Gan Eden and Gan Eden, they share a wall. We always like to tell the joke that it was once a leak. There's once a leak, and the hot air of Gehenim leaked into Gan Eden. So there was a din Torah and Shemayim, who is responsible to pay for the repair, the construction, to repair the breach between the wall. So the Gehenim said, listen, we're happy, it's okay. As long as some of the hot air gets out, it's only good for us. We're not fixing. The people in Gehenim, Gan Eden, said, no, it's not free. God, it's your the sherish of the Gehenim. You have to fix it. We don't want the hot air in Gan Eden. So they went to a din Torah, and the people in Gehenim won. The people of Gan Eden had to pay their hard-earned money to fix the hole. So the news was sent down to this world. They sent it down, and it was reported on in the New York Times, Daily News, the Post, Yeshiva World, the FJJ. So someone wrote a letter to the editor and says, it's no big deal. It's not a surprise. Everyone knows that in Gehenim, they have the best lawyers. That's why they won.
All the lawyers.
the best lawyers. That's why they won. Okay, but there was, so the tradition is, according to the laws of Kabbalah, that in the back door of Gehenna there's a door that opens up into Gan Eden. And when a person, a tzaddik, leaves this world, he's given the option. You can go there, you can go into Gan Eden directly, but if you want, we'll give you the key to the back door, and you can go into Gehenna. You can go. And don't have to stay there. Just go there for 5 minutes. 5 minutes is not going to hurt you. 5 minutes, you know, it takes time until the heat gets to you. Right? It takes some time. So you walk through, and you just walk through Gehenna, and here's the key to the back door. And the advantage is, if you go into Gehenna, maybe you might meet someone there that you know. And if you're clever, you can chap him. You can take him under your coat, and you can sneak him out. When you go into Gan Eden, when you open up the back door of Gehenna, you can open up the door, and you can take with you a couple of people, a couple of passengers can come along with you, and you can save them from Gehenna. It's such a tradition. The tzaddik is allowed to walk through Gehenna and take with him some of his acquaintances in this world and save them and bring them to Gan Eden. Now the tzaddik might not want to do that because it's frightening to go to Gehenna. He may suffer. Going into Gehenna will be attacked. The moment he walks into Gehenna, even though he might be a tzaddik, there may be some small minor defect in his neshama, and the Malachi Chavala will attack. So here the pasuk is telling you, this is what the Al-Sheikh says. Okay, the Al-Sheikh, I don't know, is not a Makubal. Al-Sheikh is not known. Rabbi Meir, you gave me the Sefer, the Al-Sheikh. You gave me the sermon, the Chumash Megillos. So he says on this pasuk, when you leave this world, and they give you the option of going to Gehenna, passing through Gehenna on your way to Gan Eden, a stopover flight, right? There's a connecting flight. The flight lands in Gehenna before it makes the final leg. Go! Because why? Because when you're there in Gehenna, you'll be able to save. You'll be able to extract a couple of people, a couple of neshamas. Do it! And don't be afraid. Don't make excuses and say, if I go to Gehenna, who knows, they may suck me in. I may never leave. Don't worry about it. You're not going to stay there. Kol asher timso yodcho lasos, anything that you can do on your way to Gan Eden, b'chaychacha, with your power, I say. And don't say, but I don't want to go there because if I go into Gehenna, they're going to find a minor defect. And then they're going to say, you know what, we change our mind. You're not going to Gan Eden. You're going to sit here in Gehenna with everyone else for the next 12 months. No, no, no. In Gehenna, ki ein maaseh. In Gehenna, there's no accounting. And there's no cheshbon. And there's no das. And there's no chochma. B'sheol, in Gehenna, the place, asher ato hoylech. That's the key word, where you're passing through. Hoylech means, okay, hoylech means where you're passing through. There is no calculation in the makom where you pass through. They're not going to attack you. And they're not going to hold you accountable and decide to keep you there for a prolonged period of time. So you might as well go there and do the best you can to save some neshamos from Gehenna.
The Al-Sheikh was the
Darshan, the Ari Shul. He was influenced. Yeah,
right.
He was influenced by Inyani Kabbalah.
How about was the Chazan?
Who?
The guy from
Lechodot. Lechodot, he was the Chazan.
The Beis Yosef was the
Poisek. Okay. A lot of Mikubalim. The Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef. Okay, let's now go to, okay, another cook idea that's mentioned by the Michlol Yoifi. This idea is very, he's a very popular commentator. He says that a person should not make calculations. He takes the idea out of context. He just takes it out of the pasuk. A person should not sit, let's go to the Sheol, the Olam HaEmes, the grave, and there they'll make calculations. In my lifetime, I've done 1,000 mitzvos, and I've done 999 averos. I win. I've tipped the scales. I have more mitzvos than averos. And therefore, I am okay. I've collected enough good deeds in my lifetime where I can take a day off. I can take a day off and do a few averos. The pasuk here says that's not the way things work in the Olam HaEmes. There's no calculation. Bittul Beroiv, 999 verse 1000. For every avera, you're punished. For every mitzvah, you are rewarded. The pasuk is ki ein maaseh v'cheshbon. The point over here is there is no calculation of a mitzvah kineged an avera, avera kineged a mitzvah. Sometimes one mitzvah can overweigh everything. Sometimes one avera can overweigh, and sometimes none of the above. For the mitzvah, you'll be rewarded. For the avera, you'll be punished. Don't, a person should not be foolish to make calculations that pretty much I'm a good guy, and that will grant me an entrance ticket to Olam HaEmes. Doesn't work like that. In Olam HaEmes, there are no games. There's no bribery. For the good, you're rewarded. For the bad, you're punished. Every bad deed is significant. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Shafti v'ra'ot tachas ha-shemesh ki lo la'kalim ha-merot v'lo la'givodim ha-melchama. I have seen in this world that the people that are swift, they are not the ones who win the race.
That's the famous phrase. The race is not to the swift.
It's not to the swift. V'lo la'givodim ha-melchama. The ones who are mighty are not the ones who win the war. Did the United States win the war in Iraq and Afghanistan? I think most people will tell you no. Right? Even with all of the mighty military power, all the sophisticated weapons, there's certain things you can't do.
It doesn't mean
that
you won't win. Doesn't necessarily mean you guarantee that you win.
You have not won. ISIS is on the loose. The fact that it can be such a creature, a collection of Meshugaim out there, they're still there. They're still causing harm. They're still causing. Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're unbeatable.
Yeah.
It means that it doesn't guarantee. You can't guarantee.
In Achrami, v'loy lagibarim hamilchama. V'gam loy lachachamim lechem. This we all know. Knowledge does not bring parnasa. V'gam loy lanavoyim oisher. People who are wise, two different expressions. Chacham brings lechem, and avinim, people of understanding, does not bring osher. Avinim is a higher level. You would think that a chacham, he's a smart guy, he's a B student, so he'll make a good parnasa. He won't be a multimillionaire, but at least he'll make a comfortable parnasa. No guarantee. You can be a chacham. There's no guarantee you'll have even the basics. You're a novoin. You're maven dav mitoch tover. You're brilliant. You have multiple PhDs and postdoctorates. You think you'll have osher? Nope. V'loy la avinim osher. Just because you're knowledgeable does not mean you're going to know how to have charm. That's a very interesting end of the word. Yodea, it means connection. What is das? The Adam Yoda Eschava Ishtai. So what does it mean, Yoda? He was connected. There was a connection of the minds, a connection of the bodies. And what did that produce? They had a child. Al kein yazav adam es ish v'dovak v'shavoyu l'vosrach v'adam yoda es chava ishtai. Yoda es chava ishtai means he was connected to her. So das is associated with connection. Chein, what is chein? Chein means grace. You like the person. When you like someone, you're connected to them. So if a person has das, he has the tools to connect. Yet just because you have the tools to connect with other people does not necessarily mean people are going to like you. And you want to talk in modern terms, in the social networking. It's a very big thing in social networking, work in marketing. So social networking, it's proven to be one of the most powerful forms of marketing, to have a very strong social presence. If you have a Facebook page, a Twitter account, and you need followers. And if you have followers on your Facebook, if you're a business, and the business has a Facebook page, I'm not talking about Yechidim. Yechidim spending time with Facebook is a waste of time. But let's say a business, they have a Facebook page, and they have a Twitter account, and every so often they develop a relationship with their customers, and then when they have new products, it's a win-win situation for the business. So what is the most difficult thing about establishing a presence? It's connecting with people. People should be willing to click that button, like, follow. I want to follow this individual. I want to follow this business. So it takes a lot of das, it takes a lot of koach to know what to do. what to do that people should want to follow you. But just because you have this koyach, you have the right content, and you have the right approach, it does not guarantee chen. Chen in this world would mean I'm willing to click on the follow button, that I want to be your follower. There are people that are extremely sick, they invest millions of dollars into this technology, and they come away with nothing. And there are people that do absolutely nothing, and they have a tremendous mazel that they have a million followers. And they send out a tweet, they send out a post, bang, they just cashed in $1 million. Everyone's running to buy their new product. So mamash what it says here. The word das is the koyach to connect. Chain is the koyach to like. It's the recipient. The recipient is receptive to the overture of the business, of the one that wants to give. Just because you have the koyach of das does not mean that the person on the receiving end is going to want to reciprocate with chain. Why? Ki eis vafega yikre es kulam. There is a time and a pega, an occurrence that comes upon everyone. There's no guarantee. There are no guarantees in this world. Okay, there are many perushim of this pasuk. We're going to go one at a time. Let's first see the mitzvot pasuk Yud Aleph. Shavti v'ra'o chazarti v'isi be'olam asher haradifa lo hoila lekale harayotz. I've noticed that trying hard does not a guarantee of success. Being quick is not a guarantee you're going to win the race. Ki lo nimutu benusam b'pnei harodef. They're not going to escape. Here it's talking about running away. It's very interesting what he's saying over here. According to the Mitzudos, when it says you're a kalim, does that mean you're running to reach, or you're running to escape? So if not for the Mitzudos, what would you assume? I assume that when it says that you're running to achieve, to reach, to conquer. I want to win the race. I want to be the first one to cross the country, to run across. And the one who gets there first is the winner. I want to, if you see at a distance, you see $1 million lying in the street. So the one that can get to the suitcase first is the one that wins, the one that gets to keep it. It's Hefka. That's what you would think it means. But it's not the way the Mitzudos translates. He learned the person over here is running away. You're under attack. You're the victim, and you're trying to escape the aggressor. So you think, listen, I can run, but the aggressor is lame. He can't move. So there's no question I'm going to escape. No guarantee. Just because you're very swift does not a guarantee you're going to be able to escape the clutches of the one that is chasing after you. Lo ha'ila lekali hamerotz ki lo nimutu. They're not going to escape benusim when they flee mibnei haroidef. Next, v'lo lagibar milchama hagvura lo ha'ila legibarim. Might is not going to help the mighty. Lehiyos lohem nitzachin hamilchama to succeed the battle. V'lo lachachamim lechem. V'lo ha'ila hachachim lachachamim. Wisdom does not help the wise men lahasig lechem macholam, basic food. Bread, lo la gibor, lo na nevonim osher, hatvun a deep understanding, lo ha'ila levonim lahasik to achieve osher wealth. Velo la yodim chaim, hayidia, lo ha'ila el hayodim, yidia srabos mechulafois, limso al yodim. All of the great knowledge a person has to connect with other people is not going to help him achieve al yodim chain favor, b'yene habrios. Why?
That he didn't let him go into
Eretz Yisrael. Moshe wanted chain. He asked Hashem to show him chain, and then Moshe Hashem will still. Moshe wanted, the main thing he wanted to see was a tzaddik v'ra'alai, and that was also denied. Ki eis v'fega eis ra'a u'pigiyas maves, a time of ra'a u'pigiyas maves, yikra es kulam ha'kalim ha'givarim. Everything happens to everyone. There's no escape from this world, from all of the occurrences that happen in this world. Rashi, pasuk aleph, shafti v'ra'o, kamo.
One doesn't follow from the other.
What?
The end of the pasuk doesn't really follow.
So that's the big problem. So according to the Mitzudos, it does. According to what it's saying is that the Kalim, they also have Ace Vafega. The Gibor also has Ace Vafega. They defeat. Defeat. That's basically what it means. There's a time of defeat. The Ace is the time of Ace Raw. Why is it Ace Raw? I have all the tools to prevent myself from suffering Raw. Doesn't matter. The even though you have all of the tools not to suffer the Ace Raw and the Pega, Upagiyas Maves, Yikres Kulam, everyone suffers the same fate. I know, it's a little bit difficult. Rashi says, Shafti Vira'o, Kumo Zohar. The word over here, Vira'o, is a... I don't know. It's a grammatical point. It's the form of the word. Vero, the word vero is not the usual form of the word. The word ro means re'e. Shafti, vero'isi. We would expect the pasuk to say, Shafti, I have returned. Vero'isi, and I have seen. So what is this word vero? This is an unusual usual form of the word ri'iyah, of sight. Right, so no, vero means in the present tense, I, or really in the past tense. Zohar means remember. Zohar. Yes, so what does he say? Present tense. I continuously see. So he's saying it's a continuous revelation. It's not something which was in the past or the future. I continue to make this observation throughout my life. It's a constant. So that's what the ro'o is equivalent to the word zohar. Zohar, you should continuously remember what Amalek has done to you. Zohar eisash osol chamalek baderech mitzeischem mimitzrayim. It's in the present tense, which means you should continuously remember what they have done. Likewise, shafti viro'o, it was something which I continuously observed in this world. What did I observe in this world? Number one, lo la kalim hamirots, lo omdo la asoyel, kaloysoy mishehigia pikudosay. So here he's learning not like the parish of the mitzvah, and you're running away from something, but here he's running to a chief. Asoyel was running to kill Avner. If I'm not mistaken, I could be I'm forgetting all the stories of Tanakh. I didn't look it up. It was Asol. He ran to kill Avner, and what happened when he reached? Who told Asol to kill Avner? Was it Yoav? Or was it Shaul? I forgot. On his own, he ran to kill Avner. So he ran to overtake him. And what happened when he got near him? Avner turned around and killed him. And he killed him. So here, Asoil was the aggressor. He was the one that was pursuing to achieve, to attack. And yet, suddenly, Avner turned around and Avner killed Asoil. He stabbed him. So you see that he thought that running through the koyach of his ability to run quickly, he would succeed. But that was the cause of his own defeat. Had he not ran after Avner, nothing would have happened to him. He brought himself to his own death. So sometimes a person's success is what brings about his failure. The mitzvah says something very simple. You're running away. I'm under attack. The enemy is pursuing me. But I'm secure. I'm going to be safe because I can outrun anyone. So I run away. Yet sometimes, hashkocha pratis, the enemy overtakes you. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says here that the person is running towards his victim. And yet, he becomes the victim. So his koyach of running is what did himself in. Kemo lo lekamirotz lo omdo la soil kaloisai, his swiftness mishegia pikudosa, when it came time for him to leave this world, his quick feet is what brought about his own death. Velo la gibar mehamulchama lo omdo la Avner giveroso mishegia yomo. Avner, when his time came, Avner was killed. Avner, when his all of his gavur, Avner was the general, his gavur was second to none, and yet when his time came, Avner, who killed Avner? Yoav killed Avner. So when his time came, Yoav succeeded in killing. So the Gavur did not help Avner. So what does this mean? Ani shahaya lachni liyom. This refers kigoin. Who's he referring to? Kigoin. Who? I didn't notice this in Rashi. Shishim korsoiles. The achshav zechelki mikol amali makli ani Shlomo Hamelech. Ani, he's describing himself. Shlomo Hamelech is describing himself. Shlomo Hamelech had nothing what to eat. When Shlomo was deposed by Ashmedai, he had nothing. All he had was the staff. Yet Shlomo was the wisest of all men. V'loy lachachomim lechem kigoin ani, I, the author of this book. What was the amount of food that I consumed in one day? It says that during the good times of his malchus, shishim kor soiles was the food for one day. Shloshim kor. What?
That's a lot of food.
It says shishim. What do you have? Shloshim? Oh, I have a mistake then. So many mistakes here. Lachmi shloshim kur soilesi achshav zechel kimikol amoli. What do I have? Makli umakida. I have my staff, and makida means my jug. Makida means my pitcher. Is that what it means? I'm not sure what makida means. Makida. All I have is makida. I have almost nothing. Next, lo la nevodim osherkun iyov. Iyov was a very wise man, and he has no wealth. Betchila vayhi mikneu enormous wealth. Shaba shato amar. Chanuni atem re'oi, please, chanuni, be graceful to me. Give me tzedakah. He's interpreting this to me over here. Show me chayin, my friends, because I don't have what to eat. It seems that according to this interpretation, that Eve was reduced to poverty. That's not so simple. Some commentators learn that it never happened. Even though he suffered physically yisurim, he was never reduced to a state of poverty, which would have been even worse. But here Rashi seems to say that the words in Eiv where it says Chanuni, show me, be gracious to me, has a connotation. He was asking his friends that they should give them tzedakah. V'gam gam lo la yodim chayin harei masa ein harei Moshe. Who is the yodea? Moshe Rabbeinu ein yodea v'navon mimenu bi Yisrael. There was no one that was more knowledgeable than him. V'lo motze chayin bitfiloso sheikon eis lavetz. He was mispalt vo eschanan el Hashem bo eisahi leimar. For eschanan comes from the word chayin. Moshe Rabbeinu was denied chayin. The gam ki eis lefeu kemashmo, a symbol that a person, when their time comes, there's nothing they can do. Gavracher ki eis yikar eis yikre oisam. What does it mean? Time visits them. Hapegia fahatechina yihiyu regilim bohem shloyavoy ledvarim halalu. So what does that mean? I'm not sure what this means. Hapegia v'hatechino yihyu regilim lohem bohem. It means prayer. Esu pega shlo yavohu ledvarim halalu, that they should not come, they should not suffer the fate. So I think what he means over here is esu pega. Pega means to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Es means a time to daven. Esu pega, two words. Ace yikre oisam. Hapegia vahatechina. Yiyu regilim bohem shlo yavo ledvarim halalu. Okay, I think what he means over here is that these people also need to come on to tefillah. Esu pera yikre es kulam. Meet with all of these. The people who have all of the koichos hanefesh of the kalim, the giborim, the chachamim, the yoidim, they still need to be mispalel to Hashem. They still need to dedicate time to prayer. A pega is another word for tefillah, in order that they should not suffer from the fate that every other person suffers from.
No.
Is that what I mean?
You're saying that, the swift are not going to achieve your goal. You won't achieve your goal without tefillah. That's all it means.
You still need to come on to tefillah.
Right. Tefillah will help you achieve your goal.
Without tefillah, then there's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee.
So in this second interpretation, he's translating the word eis ufega as two words for tefillah. According to the first interpretation, it's like the mitzudos, it means tragedy. It means tragedy, failure, loss, suffering. Just because they have the resources that would lead to the belief that they would succeed, it doesn't matter. They suffer the same degree of failure like any other person. According to the second interpretation is, just because you have all of the resources you need to succeed, you still need to come on to the koyach of tefillah. Esu pega yikres kulam. You still need the koyach of tefillah to succeed. Okay, the Targum, Pasik Yud Beis. The Targum says, Arum, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Amar Shlomo Malka. So here again, he starts with, whenever he says Amar Shlomo, you always in for a warning. What exactly is that? But here it's a very long targum. Amar Shlomo Malka said, Chad Havesi Yosef Al Kursei Malchusei. When I was a king in the good old days, when I was a melech, I sat on my throne. Ista Kalis, I gazed. Vachazes Ba'om Hodem Techos Shimsha. I took note of the following. Arum lo guvrin deinon kalilin kinishrin, the mighty that are swift like eagles, mistayin limirhat, are successful to run, l'ish tezova mimosa, to escape death. Okay, they're not swift to escape death. We're bikrova in milchama. Okay, so that's the first thing. When it says over here, the kalim lamehamei rots, so he's learning the pshat and the pasuk similar to what we learned from the mitzudos. When they're running away from death. Like what the Mitzudos says. Not that they're running towards a goal. They're running away from death. Why would they be running away from death? Because they're in the battlefield. And in the battlefield, they're being chased by their enemies. They're not going to be successful. Next, now when it says, the Gibor Muhammad v'lo Giboraya mistayin ba'agochushoin kirova bigvur rason, the mighty are not successful, now here it says, in their festivals. Okay, here's an unusual word. Be'agochushon. The word be'agochushon here in this sefer is translated as their festivals. They take pride in their festivals. They use that as a means of mazel to succeed in war. The gevura is not translated simply in terms of weapons, but it's something more supernatural. It's they have a good mazel. Today is their festival day. We have such a concept like that, that a person has a good mazel, a person the day of his birthday has a powerful mazel, he will be successful on that day. So we know, I think there was such a thing, there is a medrash that says that the enemies, when they went out to war against David, I don't remember which battle this was, they only used soldiers who was their birthday. They only use soldiers that today was their birthday. You know, on Facebook, if you do targeting marketing, you can send messages to someone that, you know, it's their birthday. When people sign up for Facebook, they tell you what their birthday is. So if you want, you can send an advertisement to every single person that today is their birthday. So they knew. So who did they send to battle? They sent to battle people who today is their birthday. Today is my birthday. I have a good mazel. I'm going to succeed. So just like there's such a concept of going out there when it's a good mazel, if today is the day of the celebration, it's July 4th. What better day is there to go out to war against an enemy in America than on July 4th? July 4th is the birthday of America. So it's a good mazel day for America. So they will be successful. That's the gevura. The gevura here is not the weapons. The gevura is the mazel of the festivals. Next. The afla chakimaya mistayan bichokmason lemispa lachma. The idon, look what the Targum says. The idon kafna. The wise people, their wisdom is not of any benefit to them to achieve bread on the day of famine. On a regular day, maybe their chokhmah works. On a day when the economy is doing well, they have chokhmah, they will find a good job. But what happens on a day when there is a recession and there's no jobs? So all of their degrees are not going to help them during that type of market. Very different than the simple interpretation. The law.
They're not good under pressure.
What?
They're not good under pressure.
Okay. V'af law such lesonin mistayon b'such lesonuson l'nichnash usra. And the Nevonim are not successful in their understanding to accumulate wealth. Okay, so here he's not really saying any wild interpretation. Okay, va'af lo yode bina mistayin b'mande ushon lemishkach rachanin. So look at this amazing targum. He translates the word chayin as rachmanis. A person who is knowledgeable will not be successful in finding rachmanis in the eyes of who? Not your ordinary citizen. Look what the Targum says. Be'enei malka, in the eyes of the king. Where did it say that in the pasuk? Who's talking about the king over here? But that's what he says, in the eyes of the king. Arum, because idon ve'ora isa b'mazolehon ye'ora yoskul, because esu pega, their mazel, the time, and the meaning of their mazel overcomes everyone. So the Targum over here says some amazing things to review outside. When it says over here, the pasuk, I've seen tachas hashamesh, Shlomo Melech was saying over here, when did I see? Shafti, it seems that shafti is a code word for sitting on the kisei malchus. It doesn't just mean shafti, I sat down. There's an emphasis. While I was sitting on my throne. Geshevis Hamelach Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchuso. So that's the deeper meaning of the pasuk. That's not what the Rashi said. Rashi ignored this. The Mitzudas ignored this. All the means over here is whatever. Just an expression. He's saying something much deeper. I made this observation in a state of clarity, in a state of power, when nothing, an ordinary person is fatacht, you're running to make a parnasa, you have trouble, so you don't think clearly. Here I was the king of the world, I was sitting on my throne, there was nothing withheld from me, I had clear mind, and I was able to make the following observation, when I was Yoshev al Kisei Malchuso, Viro'o Tachas HaShemesh, Kilo La Kalim HaMerotz, we're dealing with defeat in war, you're running away from the enemy, you're not going to succeed, you're going to die in the battlefield. Just because today is your good mazel, it's your good mazel on this day, it's your birthday, it's the day of your celebration, when you're making a party, it's a chag, it's not going to help you on the day of Mulchama. When there's a recession and you have multiple degrees, all the degrees you have on the day of a recession, all of your experience is not going to help you get a job when there are no jobs to be found. That's what it says. In times of famine, all the chachacham is not going to help you. He doesn't explain. He just says that the wise people don't accumulate wealth. He doesn't give any elaboration. A person who is knowledgeable will not find rachmanis in the eyes of the king. Just because once you have to come to the king, you need something from the melech, and you need his rachmanus, he's not going to favor you just because you're a knowledgeable person. He says here the word yikr is a code for mazel. Everyone has mazel. And whatever your mazel is, that's what's going to happen to you. There's nothing you can do to break out of your mazel. Unless you're mispala. We do have the principle that a mazel is Yisrael. But it takes quite a bit of work to overcome what the actual disposition of. But otherwise, there is this thing called mazel. Okay, there are more interpretations which we'll leave near to Shem for tomorrow. Okay, I have two handouts.